Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are so honored to welcome our guest today, Malia Otranto, whose work is striving to end trafficking in the United States. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome her on this show today. And once again, welcome, Malia. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm really excited to be on the show. Thank you so much, Michelle, for hosting me.
Oh, the pleasure is all ours. We're very, very excited. Now, I want to start off the conversation by talking about your background a little bit and how you got to get where you are in your work to pursuing solutions to ending human trafficking in our country. And I understand it that you started pursuing this topic when you were very young, correct?
Correct. A couple years ago, actually, I first heard about the topic when I was a freshman in college. And ever since then, it was really something that I strove to really educate myself on and communities all around the United States.
Mm-hmm. See, I feel like when people are younger, though, when they hear about an issue like human trafficking, and they might get a little bit scared because it is such a large issue, and it's a very serious issue, too. So why did you wish to get involved so young?
Absolutely. And so just to give you a little background, so I grew up in a family where we didn't necessarily talk about human rights issues, and everything was really political based, and it wasn't necessarily at the dinner table talking about human rights. And so I didn't learn about human trafficking until I went to college when I was 18 years old and went to school at American University in Washington, D.C. And 3 weeks into my freshman year at college, in my sociology class, we were going through a crime and deviance section. And in the top right corner of the textbook, there was one off sentence about human trafficking and how people were being bought and sold in the United States and abroad. And for whatever reason, something really just clicked with me when I read that. And I wasn't really sure what that meant, and I wasn't really sure why I hadn't heard of it before. And so I distinctively remember going to my professor and saying, Professor Brenner, what is this exactly? What is this human trafficking term? Can we talk more about this topic? And I remember back in 2010, we really didn't have any answers. And she said, Malia, why don't you go back, do some research, then maybe if you find enough information, we can make it into a group seminar or group discussion during one of the next couple of classes. Mm-hmm. And so as a very eager, young 18-year-old, 3 weeks into freshman year, I did exactly that. I ran essentially straight back into my dorm room, spent the next couple of hours researching everything I could have possibly researched about human trafficking. And a couple hours later, I printed out more than 150 copies of statistics and reports from the ILO and Polaris and UNICEF and, you know, you name it, and I tried to digest it in that three-hour time frame or however long it was that I was researching about this topic. So engaged, so fired up that I hadn't heard about it before as a young adult. And I ran into my common room where all of my freshman friends were hanging out and watching TV. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget this. I turned off the TV and I almost nearly stood on top of like a sofa where they were all hanging out. And I said, guys, listen up. Human trafficking, you know, the act of buying and selling another person for profit and exploiting them, these things are happening here in the United States. People are being bought and sold on K Street. Look at this massage parlor that was, you know, actually broken down a couple weeks ago. Look at this girl in this article that was actually pimped out at 17, mm-hmm. three blocks from where we're going to school. Right. And I'll never forget this, but they all laughed at me. And my friends, you know, they said, Malia, this doesn't happen here. What are you talking about? Human trafficking, those numbers, that 27 million, you know, there's not that many people that are enslaved today, and there's definitely not that much human trafficking going on in the United States.
Right.
And I think that moment, to be surrounded by people that I cared so deeply about, that were so educated, that were telling me that this problem didn't really exist, and that I was a young, silly 18-year-old who needed to go back to my law books because it wasn't really an issue that I needed to care about, really ignited some sort of fire in me mm-hmm. to educate people all around the country about this issue, because it is truly my stance that education is the key to prevention on human trafficking. And the more people that know about this issue and are aware of this issue and are educated about this issue, the more likely we are to creating a world where one day people aren't bought and sold by other people.
Right. No, Malia, I couldn't agree with you more there. And I think that you brought up some great points that a lot of people, especially in this country, don't really acknowledge the issue for what it is and don't realize how serious it is. And that, like you mentioned also, that it happens literally in our backyards, practically very, very close to us. And when we talk about human trafficking, they don't think it's the United States. And there's probably some other thoughts about it as well, that people aren't educated. They might just think that human trafficking only involves women and girls, but that's not the case, correct?
Oh, that's absolutely not the case. And you're absolutely right, Michelle. A lot of the times when we go out, and when I go out and I do public speaking engagements across the country to educate people about trafficking, that is what the course usually says, is it's happening to young girls, it's happening to women. And that is true. A lot of human trafficking victims, yes, are girls. A lot of human trafficking victims, yes, are women. But it's happening to youth all around the country. It's not just women. It's not just girls. Human trafficking, it is an issue that does not just affect one gender or one age. It happens to every gender, every age, every ethnicity, no matter what, whether you're male or female or white or African American or Hispanic, whether you're transgender or LGBT or straight, whether you're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, this issue affects everyone.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also did some work not only in the United States, but you did some work tackling this issue abroad, specifically in Europe and South Africa. So do you find that what you learned from those experiences, that the way that we can tackle this issue is different in those countries and those continents, really, as opposed to in America?
I think that's a really great question. And I think that the way that we tackle this issue has to be extremely holistic. And the work that I did in Europe and in primarily within South Africa, by creating a youth advocacy program with at-risk and disadvantaged youth in South Africa, some of which were trafficked, it really does go back to this key piece of education. Because the more at-risk youth and disadvantaged youth and youth in general that are aware of this issue and can identify the signs and can identify what a trafficker could do to potentially lure a potential victim, the more that youth can understand what vulnerabilities tie children to being trafficked, these key facets that underlie why people are more or less at risk to being trafficked are key to understanding in order to lessen this huge epidemic that has become one of the biggest human rights violations of our time. And the work that I did in those two countries, in Kosovo and in South Africa, was really the prevention piece, was really the education piece. It was really teaching and understanding and educating what those key vulnerabilities are, what those key risk factors are, mm-hmm. what it looks like.
Right. Now, what you mentioned earlier, too, is that there needs to be more education and more awareness about the issue. And I think that, especially in America, I think we've tried to have more education on a more global, more general perspective of what trafficking is. Specifically, and most recently in the Super Bowl and the Grammys, I know that there was some media coverage of these issues. But do you think that either there's enough media out there about it or the correct media that's covering what trafficking is?
Absolutely. I think that's a really great question. In terms of the media, for example, if someone were to type in right now a Google search, and I encourage anyone that may be listening to do exactly that right now, type in a Google search and type in human trafficking and press images and look through those images and how human trafficking victims and how the phrase human trafficking is depicted in those images and through media. And I would go as far to say as right now, there's so much sensationalization that goes on with trafficking, right? Where you have pictures of girls being tied up or in shackles or with hands covering their faces and bruised up and beaten or in cages and things like that. And the pictures that we use in articles or when we talk about it are dramatized like that. When in reality, a lot, yes, although force does happen, a lot of trafficking also goes with coercion as well. Mm-hmm. And human trafficking victims don't need to be and are often not tied up or behind bars or using that physical force, but in reality are actually emotionally and psychologically manipulated. And traffickers use a form of coercion in order to manipulate their victims. Right. And I think that that's something that the media really needs to undertake. And the way that we talk about human trafficking, specifically in the United States, needs to change in that way too. Mm-hmm. Especially when we talk about things like the Super Bowl, where it was this huge, I mean, the Super Bowl took on the sex trafficking angle of human trafficking. But in reality, I think it's really important for the media to not just focus on trafficking one day out of the year, because this is not a problem that only happens on one day. This is a problem that happens 365 days out of the year. And I think it's really damaging to just focus on an issue and hype it up during one specific event, because it's my notion that this is an issue that needs to be paid attention to every single day.
Right, right. And Malia, you have work to do to have so many solutions and work towards solving the issue of human trafficking. And after we get back from our first break, we'll talk more about how your work has helped to do that. Remember, if you're on social media, connect with us using facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use the hashtag #InvestInWomen, #InvestInGirls, and #WeForShe. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon. You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are going to continue our conversation with our guest today, Malia Otranto, who is working to help solve human trafficking in this country. And Malia, in the first part of this conversation, you talked about some of the stats that you pulled when you were young about human trafficking. And some of those organizations that you mentioned are Polaris and UNICEF. And you have actually done work with those organizations now. So we're going to touch a little bit on that. First with Polaris, and this is an organization that you worked previously with, correct?
Correct. I actually started Polaris right when I came back from studying and working the year abroad, both in Europe and in South Africa as a fellow. And then I actually transitioned to a call specialist for the National Human Trafficking Hotline.
And what were those experiences like, especially working with a hotline like you mentioned?
Absolutely. My experience with Polaris was one of the best experiences that I could have had as a young professional that knew off the bat at a very young age, right when I got into college, that I wanted to be involved in this issue. Polaris was the organization that I had strived to work for and to get my foot in the door with for the first couple years that I was involved in this issue, just because of how prestigious Polaris is as an organization, one of the leading anti-trafficking organizations, not only in our country, but around the world. And so I truly do think that having that exposure at 21, 20 years old, being able to work right underneath some of the key players that are really mobilizing and tackling this issue really did give me the necessary skills and the education that I needed in order to work my way to working for the U.S. Fund for UNICEF. When I was at Polaris, when I started off as a fellow, I actually did a bunch of different things. One of the main things that I worked on was conducting research on illicit Asian massage parlors across the United States in order to really see what those parallels were and really look at that very specific type of trafficking network mm-hmm. within the Asian community and illicit Asian massage parlors to see how many illicit Asian massage parlors were being closed down annually between 2011 and 2013. How many of those massage parlors were actually illicit massage parlors? How many women were arrested for prostitution rather than getting provided the services that they needed? How many Johns were being arrested in those areas? Mm-hmm. And so I did that kind of research, and I worked as a fellow there from August until April of 2014. And then I worked as a call specialist for the National Human Trafficking Hotline. And for those on the listening on, the National Human Trafficking Hotline is a 24/7, 365 days out of the year hotline where anyone, whether you're a law enforcement officer, whether you're a community member, whether you're a student, no matter how young you are, no matter how much or how little you know, this is a hotline where if you see something, you're able to say something and you're able to call in, provide the information that you've seen, to provide the indicators that may be a potential human trafficking situation, whether you are a student and want to learn more about human trafficking, whether you want to report a tip, whether you're a potential victim yourself and would like to be or need to be extracted from your situation or would like to be connected to services such as getting rehabilitation or getting a bed or getting a pro bono attorney service as well. That is the hotline that you call. Right. And it is one of the best ways in our country to collect data on trafficking in the United States. And it's because of the National Human Trafficking Hotline run by Polaris that we've actually been able to realize that since the hotline was created, every single state in our country has had at least one call and one instance of human trafficking.
Wow.
All 50 states have reported human trafficking in our country.
Wow. Now, what is the hotline number that our listeners can call if they want to help out?
I think that's a really, really great question. And I really encourage everyone to put this number in your phone right now. That number is 1-888-373-7888. I'm going to say that number again. That's 1-888-373-7888. Or what you can also do, say you're on a bus and you're going from New York to Philly, and you see that there might be a trafficking indicator, or you see a very young individual that doesn't seem comfortable, or something just doesn't feel right in your gut, but you don't want to pick up the phone and say anything because you don't want to spark any type of situation when you're on this bus mm-hmm. with a potential trafficker. You can also text to the hotline now, which is something that they've implemented over the last year. And you can text Be Free. Again, that's text Be Free to 233-733. Again, that's 233-733. And the biggest thing here is, no matter what, whether you think you're right or you may be wrong, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, all it takes is one call. And if you see something, I encourage anyone that's listening, no matter how old you are, it does not matter. you have the power and the agency to be able to make that call.
Right. And thank you so much for providing those numbers, because it is easier than some people think to try to help someone. And it really does make a difference in their life. And you've helped to create some other solutions as well for this issue. One of them has been through your involvement as a UNICEF fellow, correct?
Correct. I've actually was accepted to the End Trafficking Fellowship with UNICEF USA, and it has been a remarkable year with the organization, and my experience here has been extremely, extremely educational for me and challenging and inspiring, and the work that we've been able to do for the End Trafficking Project across the country. We actually created a new program this year called Shut Out Trafficking, which actually engages youth from all across the country on this issue.
Great. Great. And I think that's really important too, because one of the things that maybe people forget about is the power of the youth in helping to provide the solution to this, and that it truly is our generation that I believe will help end this issue of slavery, because we know that to have a solution is possible. Like you just mentioned, it's sending a text, it's calling a hotline. It is possible. So I want to talk about this project, the End Trafficking Project that you are a part of. And I'd like to know, what types of work do you do to help create that solution?
Absolutely. So the End Trafficking Project was created a couple years ago with the goal to raise awareness about child trafficking and youth trafficking all across the United States. And more importantly than anything else, after educating communities all across the United States about trafficking, specifically educating communities that it's happening right here in our country, and then connecting it to what UNICEF is doing globally, our also main goal is to be able to mobilize those communities and empower them to take action on their own. And we're able to do that in a bunch of different ways. We host film screenings and documentary sessions. We use a documentary called Not My Life, which is a very holistic portrayal of what it means to be a human trafficking victim and survivor, not only in our country, but all around the world. And we do film screenings with that documentary where we're able to host discussions and talk through what audiences have just seen through either a 30-minute or 62-minute version of the Not My Life film. We also host panel discussions where we bring in other key experts on this issue, whether it's a law enforcement officer or a social service provider or another teenager or youth that's being involved in this issue, and host events like that as well. We work on state and national advocacy as well. I was actually just involved in spearheading a committee that tried to pass the TVPJA, the Trafficking Victims Protection and Justice Act, which actually just got passed 2 months ago in New York State. And so we educate communities by getting them involved with state advocacy as well. And we also work on social media, and in the past, during National Human Trafficking Awareness Month, which is in January, have created online and in-person national awareness campaigns, whether that's on billboards and PSAs and things like that. And the biggest thing that we've done and have taken hold of this last year was a program called Shut Out Trafficking. And Shut Out Trafficking was in its first year this year. This was the first program, and it's a collaboration between us at UNICEF USA and the National Consortium of Academics and Sports, the NCAS. And our goal is to raise awareness about human trafficking by going to 10 different college campuses all across the United States and implementing 1 week's worth of human trafficking programming at each school. Wow. By using student athletes as the main game changers within each school in order to mobilize and raise attention to this issue to the larger student body. And in this last year alone, we had a goal to educate and mobilize 1,000 students from the 10 schools that we went to, and we actually mobilized more than 9,000 students this year alone.
Wow, that's some excellent news to hear, and we want to hear more about what you're doing, but we are going to take another break. Remember, to everybody who's listening out there, connect with us by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter using the hashtag #WomenInvest, #GirlsInvest, and #WeForShe. And once again, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
18, you've become a teenager and are ready to move on to the next phase of your years. The squeals and screams are replaced by slightly less squeals and screams, and you're expected to act a little more grown up. Tune in to Life at 14 for the answers and support you need to get through this time in your life. Your hosts have some amazing life experiences, and because of this, they have the know-how to get you ready for what's next. Life at 14, Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Kids channel.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the Tech Team, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself. What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
Keep it right here. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. Once again, talking to our guest today, Malia Otranto. And before we went to the break, we talked about some of the initiatives that Malia has been involved with that are helping to create momentum towards the solutions to create for human trafficking. And one of those that you talked about just a little bit before the break is spearheading an advocacy committee for a special act in the New York State. If you could talk a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. So I spearheaded a trafficking advocacy committee that was brought in New York State. So the TVPJA is the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. And that was proposed. And what the TVPJA would do is it would improve New York State's efforts to end human trafficking by enhancing a bunch of different things. It would enhance protection for trafficking victims, particularly sexually exploited children. What it also does is increases accountability for buyers, johns, buyers of sex, and traffickers who fuel this industry and make it what it is. It also would prevent the re-victimization of trafficking victims by doing a bunch of different ways as well. It recognizes that buying children for sex is child abuse, which is huge. It also, you know, makes sure that trafficked individuals are defended from criminal prosecution. So the TVPJA, the Trafficking Victims Protection and Justice Act, is something that we've been trying to get passed in New York State for a couple of years. And some of my colleagues who've been working on this issue for a lot longer than I was working on it had talked about the struggle of getting this piece of legislation passed. Mm-hmm. And I was asked to spearhead with the help of Lauren Hirsch, who leads the trafficking initiatives at the Sanctuary for Families, the Trafficking Victims Protection and Justice Act Advocacy Committee, which is a committee that was created in order to really bring together all of the different trafficking organizations in New York State that wanted to be involved to create some sort of strategy in order to try and really get this piece of legislation passed. And I, in no way, shape, or form, can really take any ownership of the bill being passed at all, because it really goes to, you know, between the new leadership in the Assembly and the colleagues that have been working on this bill for years, but even just being able to work on this advocacy committee for a couple of months and getting all the meetings and making us, you know, and we're printed out postcards and talking to youth about it and having youth call up. And we did a blitz campaign where we had every single member and all of their friends call the Assembly office for the straight hour, to the point where they actually had to turn off their phones because too many students, too many individuals, too many New York State community members that wanted to see this bill pass were calling. And so there were a bunch of different things that we did in order to really cause a lot of chatter and chaos in order to get everyone to turn around and pay attention about this bill. And it actually did end up getting passed a couple months ago.
Oh, congratulations with that. Now, I want to talk about the idea of a bill being passed to address this issue. Human trafficking is not a new issue. It's been around for a very, very, very long time. So why do you think it's taken this long to have a bill passed to protect those who are victims?
Right. Well, the first bill that was actually passed was the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, and that was actually passed in 2000. But in reality, I think even the fact that it took until the start of the millennium to get a bill passed in our country that stated what the act of buying and selling another person was is huge in and of itself, right? The fact that it took until the year 2000 to get a piece of legislation that criminalized the act of buying and selling another person and putting the phrase human trafficking down legally, it was huge. And over the last 15 years, we have seen a lot of progress when it comes to state legislation and federal legislation on this issue, for sure. There has been a lot of progress when it comes to safe harbor laws, making sure that youth that are under the age of 18 that are sex trafficking victims aren't treated as criminals within the criminal justice system, that they aren't getting arrested for and being charged with prostitution, but instead providing the services and the help that they need in order to rehabilitate their lives. Things like safe harbor laws, we've really come and really went through strides in order to ensure that these pieces of legislation are getting the momentum that they need over the last 15 years.
Right. Now, did this act receive unanimous support when it was being voted on?
The TVPJA, it was, so the TVPJA, I had the honor, we actually brought a full bus of about 50 people up to Albany in order to go to a press conference that day that survivors of trafficking spoke at, which was extremely emotional to be in that room and to listen to three survivors speak about this issue, followed by a couple other game changers talking about the years that it took to get this finally to the floor of the Assembly. And we actually also got to go to sit in the gallery of the Assembly to watch the bill get to the floor. And Michelle, the way that the feeling of happiness, I think, that was unanimous in the gallery of all of us sitting there with our purple T-shirts on that had, you know, Women's History Month, past the TVPJA on the back, really just watching this happen and seeing it get to the floor, seeing the unanimous yeses as we look up both to our left and to our right to see every single Assembly member's name pop up with a green Y next to their name, to realize that that was a bill after 5 or 10 minutes that was passed unanimously in the State Assembly was one of the highlights of my time in New York and my time working on this issue by far, because it really did go to show how far we've come as a state and really as a country with this issue. And the fact that to be able to hear the New York State Assembly members talking about trafficking happening in their districts and how their partners are working on this issue and how their children are coming home from school and talking about this issue, that is where we're going as a country. That is what the goal is. The more people that talk about it, the more people that know about it, the closer we get to creating a world where slavery just does not exist.
Now, that leads me to my next question, that because of the momentum that has been initiated in New York with the passing of this bill and the work that's being done, do you think that other states in the country are going to follow New York's example?
I mean, I think that's the hope. I would like to think that that's the hope. The TVPJA is definitely a bill that should be modeled by other states. And I think that Polaris Project does a really great job by tracking the bills that get passed in the Senate or in the House and all across the United States to really see what the momentum is, what bills need support, what bills just get passed, where those pieces of legislation are going. And so, again, if anyone is interested in advocacy or wherever you're listening, whether it's here in New York or in Texas or all the way out in California, go check out that piece from Polaris, because they do a really great job with really monitoring the different types of trafficking legislation all across the United States, state by state.
Excellent. Now, who supported this bill in the assembly in New York? Who was able to sponsor? Was it? I mean, I'm interested to know if it was a male or a female that was sponsoring the bill.
So Amy Paulin was the bill sponsor, but there was a bunch of other New York State Assembly members that were also supporting the bill in a multiple of ways. I think most of the momentum for the bill as well came from the New York State agencies and organizations that really pushed and really went to meetings with the New York State Assembly members in order to get them on board with this issue. And so I think that, you know, organizations like Sanctuary for Families and GEMS and Equality Now, these organizations that really pushed to ensure that these New York State Assembly members were educated about this issue, were educated about the fact that it happened right here in their own state, were really important. Because again, Michelle, most people don't think that this issue happens here.
Right.
And we like to think of human trafficking as some abstract phrase, right? Something that happens in foreign countries to people whose names that we can't pronounce. But in reality, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Human trafficking is happening right here in our country. It's happening right here, you know, even in New York State. It's happening all across the country, every day, every hour, every minute. And in order to, we need to be able to let people understand and know that, yes, this is an issue that affects nearly every country around the world, but this is also an issue that we need to make our own here in the United States, because this isn't just something that happens to foreign nationals or people from other countries. This is something that is also happening to America's youth,
right?
Boys and girls.
Exactly. And when we get back from our next break, we're going to talk about even more of the work that you're doing to help find the solution to this issue. And to our listeners out there, we want you to know what you're thinking about what Malia is doing, all the great work that she is putting forth. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use the hashtag girlsinvest, hashtag womeninvest, and hashtag weforshe. We'll be right back.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general?
Tune in to What Up, World? It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up, World? Every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You're listening to Voice America Kids. Real kids, real talk radio.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are at our last segment with our guest today, Malia Otranto. And Malia, now I'd like to shift the conversation to how the general public can help this issue. We talked about using the hotline. We talked about using the text and the number as well of different organizations to provide information about where we see that this issue is affecting us. But what other steps can we do to help end trafficking all over the world?
I think that's a really great question. And there's a bunch of different ways that especially youth can get involved with this issue. Whether you're 15 or 23 or however old you are, I think it's really important to know that every single person has the ability and the agency to make a difference and to be able to help put a stop to human trafficking. And again, Michelle, it's exactly what you said. It's as easy as learning the signs of trafficking. It's as easy as spending an hour or 2 hours or 5 minutes like I did when I was a freshman in college and was angry and frustrated about not knowing this issue as much as I at all, and typing in a Google search in order to learn more. It's as easy as learning the signs of trafficking. So if you see something, you can say something. Another big initiative that we like to push for at my organization is really being conscious consumers. Take a look around you, whether that's a table that you're sitting at or the headphones that you're listening to or the watch that I'm wearing right now or maybe what you had for breakfast. We live in a world and in a society where we don't really stop to think about the products we buy, the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, and where they come from. Mm-hmm. When in reality, because of how fast-paced our society is, inevitably, we don't know whether or not those clothes or that food or that banana or that watch was made by the hands of someone that was exploited or was potentially a labor trafficking victim. And so we encourage everyone that we speak to and that the communities that we reach out to really be conscious consumers. And if there is a brand that you always like to wear or a type of food that you always eat, outreach to those companies, write to them and say, I want to see what your supply chains look like. I want to see the transparency. I want to know where my shirt came from and that the person that sewed the shirt together or that produced this, whatever it is being treated fairly and ethically. Mm-hmm. And is getting paid correctly. What we also like to do is ensure that, say, for instance, like me, when you drink 3 cups of coffee a day, or if you have a pretty intense chocolate addiction, well, rather than buying those type of products without really knowing where they come from, how about you take one step to ensuring that those products that you buy are fair trade? And what fair trade is, it's a movement to ensure that from production to distribution, that person on the other end, no matter where they are, is being treated fairly and ethically and not being exploited by their labor. And that is huge when it comes to trafficking and stopping the demand and making sure that people all around the world and within our country are getting paid fairly and are being treated correctly. And so fair trade products do exactly that. And so we encourage people to really look into fair trade products, go into a Whole Foods or a supermarket and look for the labels that have the fair trade certification. Spend an extra 40 cents, if you can, on that chocolate bar that has that little icon to know that that person that created that package or that helped pick the cocoa to create the chocolate was being treated fairly and was not being exploited.
Right.
If you are in a high school or in a college right now, if you're in high school, if you're in college, start a UNICEF club. There are so many resources for you to be able to start a UNICEF or a high school club if they don't even have one already. And if you have a high school or a UNICEF club in your college or in your campus, join one. Get involved that way. Every single high school club and every single college club hosts Not My Life discussions, host the Not My Life documentary. They do different events to educate their own communities, whether it's high school students, whether it's college students within their community, about trafficking.
Excellent. And I know that I'm in high school right now, so I'm able to see what types of clubs are out there. And what I find is really special is that there is a large draw for students and for the youth to get involved, because we see the issues that are out there. We hear about it on the news. We hear about it through organizations like UNICEF and so on, either through commercials or what have you. It really is true that we are motivated to create change. And like you said, it can be as easy as looking for a little icon on a label or having conversations and pursuing that education towards what's going on so we know how we can provide the solution. So I think that's very accurate. And I'm glad that you mentioned all of those different ways that our listeners can get involved.
Thank you so much. And I think that's incredibly important. I think when we go across the country, and especially when we talk to youth, a really big thing that they say is, but I'm only 14 or I'm only 15. How can I really make a difference?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that youth around our country, and especially those that are listening, it's so incredibly important to realize and understand that it does not matter how old you are. You could be 14 or 44, but you still have the power and the ability to make a difference in your own time, no matter how much time you have, no matter who you are, no matter what you want to be when you grow up or who you are right now. If you want to make a difference, if you want to create a solution to a problem or work on an issue like trafficking, you have the ability to do it.
Fantastic.
And your age shouldn't be a factor to take away from that agency.
Absolutely not. Definitely not. And Malia, I'd like to know from you personally, what drives you to continue to work to provide solutions for human trafficking? Because I know that it must be a very taxing area to work in. I'm sure it can be very emotional at times. And when you're faced with obstacles, like if political figures don't want to pass a bill, and if it takes years to reach that achievement, it can be discouraging at sometimes as well. But I'd like to know what drives you. Why are you passionate for what you do?
Absolutely. And I think that's a really great question to end on. And I completely agree with you, right? Burnout rates, and getting discouraged, especially with this issue, it's daunting to know that human trafficking is so prevalent within our country and around the world. But I think something that keeps me going and the overwhelming passion that I have comes from these events and the fact that there could be an event where 300 people attend and I get to speak in front of 300 people and educate them about trafficking. But it's that one person that comes up to me after that event is over, that waits in the line for 25 minutes, long past the time when they needed to be there, to come up to me and say, I didn't know about this, and I am so outraged about this issue, but because of what you said and because of what I know now, I want to make a difference. Because of the information that I've just learned, I want to do X. I want to start Y. I want to be involved in this way. It's those people, and most of them, Michelle, are students that really keep the fight going for me, because all that takes is one person out of a crowd of 300 to get a light bulb in their head for them to realize that they have the power to want to be able to help this issue, that they want to help end this issue. And what we've seen, what I've seen over the last couple of years is, especially with youth, once that light bulb turns on, it will not turn off. And that is so powerful for me. And it's every single time that I get a student or a community member to come up to me afterwards and to say that, or I open my email inbox at midnight when I get home and I get that email that with the subject title, I want to change this issue. I want to help this issue. How can I make a difference? Those are the people that make me want to keep on doing this. Those are the situations that make me realize how important this issue is to keep the fight going, because all it takes is one person to care about this issue and to know about this issue, because then what they're going to do is go tell another person and another person. And what you've created is an inevitable domino effect of people that begin to care about other people. And that's the way we end human trafficking. That is the way, through education, through awareness, through that spark, through that light bulb, that we create a world where slavery does not exist.
Amazing. Well, Leah, we are so happy that we were able to have you on our show and for you to share your message. And I know that you've inspired so many of our listeners out there, and I hope that you continue to achieve success and pursue this issue. And I definitely look forward to seeing the end to this issue in my lifetime. So thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me. It was seriously such a pleasure.
Thank you. And we'd like to thank all of our listeners for listening as well. Remember, we do want you to connect with us and let us know what you thought of this conversation. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use the hashtag womeninvest, hashtag girlsinvest, and hashtag weforshe. Once again, you've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. The show is produced by the State of Women Radio Network, the first radio network for women and girls for Voice America Kids and Kidstar Radio. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. Until next time.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Before. Now from the Kidstar Album of the Month, here is the Whiz Pops and their song, Blue Wave. was the Whiz Pops from the Kidstar Album of the Month.